Yerushalayim descending, the city from the sky. Abraham's dream and the answer to my cry for those who love Messiah.
Be blessed as you're tuned in to listen to messages direct from the throne of God. Now let us quickly turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations chapter 22. Revelations is a book, a compilation of visions, revelations that the Apostle John saw while he was on, in isolation on the island of Patmos. And in the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22 verse 8, these are the words of John. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servants, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city, without are the dogs, the sorcerers, the whoremongers, the liars, the murderers, the idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, send my angel to testify unto you these things in the, in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Praise God. So we see how John starts off, his closing argument. He had written a series of revelations. He had compiled, nobody knows how long, but this was a series of revelations he compiled, and he named it the book of Revelation. Now we call it the Revelation of John. The Apocalypse. Now, John says that I, John, saw these things and heard them. I, John, saw these things and what? And I heard them. Now, what was he seeing and what was he hearing? Now, he was seeing things that were about to be fulfilled shortly. First of all, in his own life. Praise God. He rounds up in the last two chapters of Revelation, speaking about the new Jerusalem, a new heavens and a new earth, glorious kingdom descending from heaven. and just saw these things. He saw the city of God descending from heaven. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. And he heard voices, which is actually that one voice of the Spirit, declaring that former things are passed away. All things are passed away and behold, all things are new. In this city there was no more sea. Oh, hallelujah. No more death. No more pain, no more sorrow. All things are new. And he says, I will be a father unto you, and you will be a son unto me. A new reality. Hallelujah. A new kingdom coming into view. John the Apostle saw these things and heard these things. And when you hear and see these things, what you do is to keep what you say. Keep what you say diligently so that it's not taken away, so that it is not taken away from you. In the first place, to see what he saw, he was taking away divinely. You know, God is a master planner. It was divinely planned that he be in isolation, away from the many, many distractions, many, many voices of men in this world below. If John the Apostle was entangled with the happenings of this world below, there is no way he would have seen and heard what he saw and heard. But he was in isolation. How prepared are we to get away from the hustle and bustle in this world? How willing are we to get away from the realm of envy, arguments, competition, lusts, speculation, prophecies? How willing are we to get away from all of that and just stand still and listen to the voice of the Spirit? In the first chapter of Revelations, John was taken up into the Spirit and he heard this voice, and the Bible says he turned around. How many of us are willing to turn around, to turn our backs on this world, to behold and hear that voice of God? How many of we are prepared to follow the leading of the lamp? Like the three disciples followed Jesus onto that isolated mountain to behold the transfiguration. Oh, hallelujah. And what they beheld and saw while Jesus transfigured upon the mountain is the same thing that John saw and heard, although in a more greater detailed manner. That is the same thing he heard while upon, you know what, upon the island of Patmos. It was the same glory was seen, because in the transfigured Jesus, in the glory cloud that encompassed Jesus, what the three disciples were seeing was the end of it all. Praise God, they had come to that high elevated peak, which is a type of Zion, God's spiritual kingdom, God's dwelling for eternity. The situation of that's where the New Jerusalem is situated, where there is no more sea, no more darkness, no more ignorance, but everything is made plain. And you begin to discern everything. You begin to live in the reality of your oneness with God. Praise God. We have to see afar off. Patiently in prayers and in meditation, learn to receive from the Spirit and see and hear, see afar off, see everything afar off. Now, because, and when you see these things from afar off, now you have to embrace it by faith and enter in by faith. Praise God. It's not just showing us these things for gathering of knowledge, but to cause us to enter in and to experience true rich life in the ages to come in Christ Jesus. Praise God. God's kingdom is present, God's realm is present, but how can you possibly enter in without seeing, without perceiving and understanding with your spiritual eye? Praise God. Because what we see in this present world is coming to naught, is dissolving day and night. Praise God. Because whether we like it or not, every man eventually will see the same thing that John saw. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, it is written that all eyes shall see him. All eyes shall see the one that they have pierced. Meaning all eyes shall see the one that they have crucified. Praise God. Somebody will say, well, I have no hand in the crucifixion of Jesus. But what he's trying to say is that you shall see the one you have crucified. Now, Christ in you, or we can call it the lamp of God in you, is the one that was crucified when man started to live the lie. In the transgression, all men are guilty of these things. And when we continue the lie, we simply crucify the Christ again and again. Praise God. So all eyes shall see him and all eyes shall understand. Seeing is understanding, is perceiving. Getting a true revelation and understanding of what it is. Every eye shall see him. And they shall mourn. The tribes of the earth shall mourn. These are the nations, the kingdoms of the earth that have turned their back on God's kingdom. The kingdoms of the earth that walk in the lie. Praise God. So this present heavens and this present earth, the orderly arrangements, man's system, man's beliefs, those things that we have sacredly held on to in all spheres, whether it be in religion, in traditional beliefs, everything dissolved as the light of the knowledge of Christ and God's kingdom comes into view. As these things become clearer, as we see these things clearer, every man is expected to turn his back away from this world. Every man is expected to repent, throw away the old, and enter in and begin to partake of the new. See, when Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus about the kingdom of God, he made a statement that is similar to seeing and entering in, he says, "Very, very, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God." Praise God. And he says on again that except a man be born again, or born of water and spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell where it's coming and where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Praise God. So Jesus Christ says that he speaks here about seeing the kingdom of God and now entering it. Praise God. There has to be a rebirth. Praise God. As we see this kingdom, now the rebirthing is all about a changing in our mental faculties, a changing in our way we perceive things. See, praise God. It's all about now getting a revelation of your true nature, getting a revelation of who you truly are and your relationship to God and His kingdom, and walking by faith in these things, because you are already spirit, you are already born spirit, your true nature is spirit, your true nature is light, you are truly in the image of the Father. It's just a matter of repenting. It's a matter of a renewal in the mind. It's a matter now of turning back, you know, from the lie and now walking in the truth. See, when we walk in the lie as, you know, flesh and blood, walking in relation to the elements, the beggarly elements of this world, in reality, you know, like we are like those dogs and, you know, sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, you know, and all those things that love it and make it a lie, which is without. See, we love and make a lie when we cling on to flesh. See, flesh does not have a single understanding of the nature of God and the kingdom of God. It's unaware of the invisible things of God. See, it clings to the earthly. Now, why do you have so much conflict today in the world? Wars, bitterness, and all these things we see in this world today is because of the flesh mind. See, people have, you know, clung to the dust, clung to the earthly. But right now, as the revelation of truth comes, every man is admonished to let go. Let go of everything that we have gathered unto ourselves in this world that we thought we were. Praise God. Everything that we have learned and we have gathered for gain unto ourselves, everything must be dissolved by the revelation of the Christ in us. Praise God. We must be able to see the reality of God's kingdom and not be carried away with the deceit of this present world that we are living in. We must be able to see the beauty and the majesty that John saw in the midst of that city of gold that was descending from heaven. Praise God. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. What is this pain and sorrow? It has all got to do with the pain, emotional pain and turmoil we have suffered because of our attachments to things that truly don't exist, our attachment to vanity. How many of us know it is unpleasurable? It's, you know, it's sorrow of soul when you are not able to walk pleasing and, you know, in alignment with the living God. These things draw away your joy. But God is revealing a way to us today by the revelation of Christ, who is our true identity. Praise God, no more pain, no more sorrow. And in this city, every man has the Father's name written upon his forehead. And everyone sees the face of God. John the Apostle saw a lamp. He seated on the throne. He saw the throne of the lamp of and of God in the midst of this new city. And the promise of God's kingdom is that those that overcome will be granted to sit on that same throne of the Father God, the same throne that Jesus himself inherited. Praise God, that means that we are that lamp of God that sits upon the throne. We individually and corporately are that one who sits upon the throne, because we are one with the Father. Praise God, it's a great thing, isn't it? Jesus Christ himself, just like us, had seen this revelation. He has heard these things that we are hearing today, and he embraced it and walked out his salvation with fear and trembling. He started to walk in relation to that new heavens and a new earth. See, after he had seen and heard it. Praise God. All the men of old, is it Abraham, Noah, Lot, whatever. They were all given eyes to see things to come. And as we see the things to come, it means that we stop looking out for prophecies, we stop looking out for events that will occur. Stop listening to speculative voices of men and of religion, waiting for signs or waiting for something to happen. Because I tell you today, nothing will happen. Praise God, because God's kingdom is already present. And like we saw in the book of Revelations chapter 22, the gates of the city are open 24 hours. They are never shut. See, the only thing that a man needs to do now is simply to awake. Awake to the truth. Awake to the reality of who he is. Awake to the reality of the Son of God in himself. And enter in by faith into this new heavens and a new earth. It is right now as you see and hear these things. See, an angel testified these things to John. The angel today is always present. Now, let us understand that the angel does only one thing. It simply relays the voice of the Spirit to the sons of men. It's simply a courier of the thoughts of God to men. Angels don't come here to do anything new, but simply announce what they hear from the Father. And I can show you that the Father is unchangeable. All the Father desires is that every man comes to the knowledge of the truth, which is Christ in them, and be saved by it. Enter back into safety. Enter back and rediscover the all power. Praise God. Enter back and rediscover life, life, joy, peace. Praise God. Enter back and rediscover the tree of life that is in the midst of the garden. Praise God. Enter back and rediscover the morning star attribute in you. Praise God. That is all the Father wants from you, because that is the only thing you need. See, you don't need a bank account. Praise God. You don't need a husband. You don't need a wife. You don't need children. You don't need anything in this world. The only thing that you will ever need throughout all eternity is to rediscover yourself upon that throne of God, the throne of the Lamb. Praise God. And to rediscover your, I'll call it a millionfold blessings, unlimited blessings. Because it's written that He has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. Not some, not partially, but what? Every spiritual blessing. Everything that is God's, He has blessed us with that in Christ Jesus. So this is what salvation, God wants His children to rediscover this all power, this all glory. That is all. And that is all that the focus our mind should be. Praise God. When you hear this voice, it will tell you, son, leave your father's house, leave your territory, leave your beliefs, leave the terrestrial, leave everything that this world has got to offer, and I will show you a new kingdom. And I will give you true fruitfulness. Praise God. I will give you all power, what, in heaven and earth. Jesus Christ at the end of His ministry said, what, all power in heaven and earth is what is given unto me. Now, if you have all power in heaven and earth, do you need big accounts? Do you need anything from man? Of course not. Because you have the power that can transform, you know, that which seems as though it's not, as though it is. You can command things that are visible from that which is invisible. Praise God. That is the same power with which every man on this earth participated with in the spirit to generate this heaven and this earth and to maintain it when they walked in the pure consciousness of light. Of course, before the lamp was slain. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So seeing that these present systems is being dissolved, let every man have his focus on God's kingdom, God's world. Praise God. Let every man hold on to the words of this prophecy diligently. Praise God. Don't let the present circumstances sway you. Now, if you look at in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 18, that is a letter of Paul concerning present circumstances, present things that you might still suffer because you have a physical body upon this earth. See, even when you have got the revelation, even when you have entered, even when you are reigning, you still have to be diligently keep yourself in what you have heard and not to be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by outer things. See, the body might say one thing today. See, your family members, certain things might go wrong here and there. All kind of temptations will rear their head. And all these things are simply designed to distract you. See, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us," or I can say which is being revealed in us, "for the endless expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole world, all creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, are waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, what is Paul talking about? And he's talking about a groaning, a travailing in pain. He's talking about present sufferings. See, these things go both for the saints and, you know, for the unbeliever. Although it's much, much more, you know, serious for the unbeliever, because he suffers when the unbeliever hears these things and turns his back on them. He suffers torment in his soul. See, but there are still temptations, there are still obstacles, even in the way of the believers. Those who are called the first fruit. Like first fruit, you are first fruit simply because you have the privilege to hear and understand these things right now. That's why you are called the first fruit. First fruit of creation, so that the whole world can eat of your fruits and be saved there, so that the whole world can partake of the healing leaves of your tree. Praise God. So Paul is saying that the present suffering, the present tribulations, the present hindrances, the present limitations at times that we still suffer cannot be compared. It is nothing in comparison with the glory that is being unveiled in us right now. At times you might suffer humiliation on account of the world. You might lose friends. You might lose brethren. You might have to sacrifice certain things that would have been thought to be rightfully yours in this world. At times you might just have to be a fool for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, you might just want to be a fool so that you don't lose that great heavenly prize which is in Christ. Praise God. So let us be encouraged. See it. Continue seeing this thing. Continue listening to the voice of the Spirit. Continue listening to the messenger of God. Praise God. Who speaks the words of Jesus? I, Jesus, have sent my messenger, my servant, to declare these things to you. I, Jesus, the Lord, the Spirit, has sent the messenger to declare things concerning my realm, concerning my world, so that you can come in and be saved. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks about men of faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, men of faith, who all died in faith, because to some extent, bloodly, not clearly, they saw and heard concerning this world, this kingdom, not made with hands, this kingdom prepared by God for his saints, for his people. The Bible says that, having seen these things afar off, and were persuaded of them, these men of faith embraced them. They embraced this vision of a new heavens, new earth, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Praise God. Let's quickly read this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare clearly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now let's stop here. I want us to realize that in the first place, the men of faith of old, Abraham and co, had a blood vision. They didn't have a complete vision. But today we see clearly. We understand these things clearly. You know, Daniel saw visions of the New Jerusalem. He saw visions of the walls to come. He saw visions of the Christ. But it was not given to Daniel at that time to truly comprehend, because these things were sealed. They were still veiled from their understanding. Solomon, David, prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, great prophets all saw visions of this everlasting kingdom of God, of the beauty and the majesty that surpasses understanding, but they never had the veil of over their minds removed. They could not comprehend it, because had it been they had comprehended, most of those men would have entered in. They did not understand the secret that they truly came out of that kingdom. They did not understand the mystery that in reality that they came from that country. And if they had seen the mystery, they would have been able to return. But it was not given to them. Rather, it is given unto us today. That's why Jesus Christ says, rejoice and be glad. For your eyes see. You see visions of the new heavens and the new earth. Your eyes see things concerning the kingdom of God. You hear things that many sought after, but it was not given to them to hear. Shouldn't we kneel down and stand in awe and praise God and enter into it, not to joke with this great grace and salvation that has been handed over to us on a platter of gold? Those men died in faith, and they did not receive these promises, but today it is not our portion to die, but it's our portion to receive these promises. It's our portion to walk in the reality of these promises. Praise God, it is our portion to sit on the throne, to partake of the tree of life, to taste of the heavenly nature and the powers of the ages to come in Christ Jesus. The ages to come have come now as we hear these things. See, a door is open. Praise God. And we enter in by simply recognizing God's order. We enter in by simply knowing God's order, getting acquainted to God's order. See, we enter in by realizing our true nature and the nature of all men, by understanding the mystery of God, who is in us and through us all, we are all brethren. We enter in by washing ourselves, allowing the revelation light of the Spirit of God wash our thinking, our minds, so that we once more walk spiritually, not as earthly, carnally minded. Praise God, because carnally mindedness is death. To be carnally minded means alienation from the invisible life of God that fills all in all. That is the carnal mind. It simply blocks the streams of Eden. See, the carnal mind shows us the way out of Eden, away from the tree of life. Praise God. Like it's written, nothing that defies or makes a lie can enter in. That is the carnal mind. It denies the indwelling Christ. It denies the knowledge of the Father who is in us all and through us all. Praise God. Hallelujah. The knowledge that we are having today, the revelation of the heavenly kingdom, is giving us the power today to be lifted from the earth and therefore escape the corruption that is in this world below. It is causing us to have become partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. And administering to us that open door into God's kingdom. This is what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1. Praise God. I start off from verse 15. For those of us who see afar off, who are able to see God's kingdom, and who are able to get this revelation, it says to knowledge, besides this, giving all the diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Christ in you, praise God, and the Christ that fills all in all. But he that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off, and has forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Praise God. Now, what does it mean to be purged from your old sins? Your old sins is your old way, when you walked in carnality, when you walked in ignorance of your true nature. See, your old sin is simply walking outside the light, walking in the flesh, walking in a false identity, walking in the lie. That is sin. It's not drinking beer, it's not smoking. So of course you do well to moderate whatever you do to your body, but that is not the definition of sin. Sin is all about deviating from your true spiritual nature to that which is earthly. That is sin. See, when you sin, you simply transgress against yourself and suffer many things, you know. You enter into you slip away from the realm of unlimited blessings into the realm of lack and pain and sorrow and, you know, weeping and gnashing of teeth. See. But the revelation of Christ now comes. Our eyes are open to see the true image of the Christ, our true nature, our true realm, God's kingdom. The revelation comes and When we walk in the in this new revelation, in newness of life, we are expected to continue on. Any man who cannot continue on and cannot see afar off is blinded from reality. Because going back to the lie, going back to the terrestrial, means that you can't see afar off. You can't see that these things are only passing away. These things are will be dissolved, completely dissolved, disintegrated completely. Peter says that, like, you know, a roar, this whole heavens and earth will pass away, with the elements thereof melting away, dissolving completely. All the things that we have formulated for ourselves as men, onto our imaginary names, everything dissolved. Whether you like it or not. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's better to just simply align ourselves with the truth. Hallelujah. And walk in, you know, enter into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Because God, let us not be like those who can't see afar off, but let us be like those who see and enter in. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, I continue. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. That is the door, that is the gate into the new city, into God's world. It's open right now, and we're entering right now. Simply a matter of seeing afar off, getting the understanding and seeing afar off and walking into it. There's always a movement of those who hear the voice of God. Abraham, the father of the faith, had to move. We all have to move and walk, step into this new world by faith. Praise God. Jesus Christ says, I'm the gate, I'm that door into that new world. See, it's by getting a revelation of the true nature, see, of that light being that you are, that spiritual being that you are, that perfection that you are. Getting that revelation and walking by this revelation. Open your eyes to God's eternal kingdom. Recognize your nature. Recognize the fact that the Father's name is written upon your forehead. Walk in this reality. Praise God. This is what the Father desires. He doesn't want you to come to church crying day and night. Father, forgive me. A lot of the services I go to and places I go to fellowship with brethren, they keep repenting day and night and crying and crying and crying. God does not want that. God, those things don't. You are just crying to yourself. What you will do is to simply see afar off, see the gates, the open gates into the new Jerusalem, into God's kingdom, and enter into it. Enter in and rediscover the lamp of God that you are, sitting upon the throne of God. Enter in and shine once more as the bright and morning star. Enter in and reign. Reign in rich life. Reign in true life. Praise God. So what are we seeing today? Are we seeing afar off? Are we seeing and keeping the words of the prophecy that we are seeing and hearing today? Praise God. Don't let problems around you disturb you. Stay focused on that which is real. Because someday you will wake up and discover that those things that you call problems don't really exist. It's all in our imagination. Let us see together and enter in. God bless you. Amen. And the answer to a kingdom is prepared. Its citizens are holy, and there's no weeping there. No more songs of sorrow, no more tales of woe. We shall no longer know. Here is Shalim Hadash, all things are made new. As the glory of Yeshua. Songs of sorrow.